Thing in Simit Kuf Yud, we did Sif Zion, we did not do the Mishaburas on Sif Zion yet. The Mishaburas says the case over there is Sif Katan Chav Tes. So the lucky is that the Shulchan Aruch says you don't say Tfilas HaDerech until you start traveling. But to Lomar, Shlo Yarmena Keshadayin Hu B'Sech HaYir Shedorbo. You don't say it when you're still in the city that you where you live. Even though you're planning to start traveling, okay. Now we said before again from the Maram in Rutenberg would say it in the morning. After he wrote, since as Mishabur pointed out, there was something he started traveling. Another example to which we will see, a person who's traveling for multiple days, so even though the first day you can't say it until you start traveling, but and when you're traveling for multiple days, each morning, you say it again each morning, but that situation, by definition, you're on the road. Even though you stopped in an inn somewhere, or a hotel somewhere, or a city somewhere, that's not your final destination. So then you could say it even before you leave the city. So it would be relevant to Maram Rittenberg's halacha when you're traveling multiple days. You don't have to wait till you start traveling. But the first day that you're traveling, or if you're only traveling less than a day's travel, you can't say it until you start traveling. V'ibura shalir. Now Chazal have, in the Chazal's world of cities, cities were very distinct and very self-contained. They're very clear end of the city. But there's a concept in halacha called ibur shalir. The hanashivim amo ma'at yosef samach l'ir. So within 70 amos beyond the end of the city.
70 and a third.
70 and the mishmar says a little bit. That's a third. That is correct. Svi. Samach l'ir. Correct. Samach l'ir, within the edge, end of the city, lachar shekvar kolo kolabatim. But they're talking about end of the city means there's no more houses. The houses have ended. You know, you had the little shtetl in Europe, and there was, you had a few streets, and you had houses, and there was no houses anymore. There was, you started going onto the road, onto the fields, and the trees. So you measure another 70 amas out beyond that, and within that space, hareu b'kisach l'ir. So you can't say it in the city, you can't say it in the Ibur Shalir either. Okay. So the Mishabura, but Taz Matu Afila B'Sech HaYir, the Taz says, no, you can say it inside of the city. As long as you decide it, and you start, and you prepare yourself. He understands that the reason why you can't say it inside of the city is not because you can't be mispalo for the trip till the trip starts. It's because we're afraid you might change your mind. In the case of the person was Germer Beliba, he made a clear, definitive decision. And he started preparing himself to travel. We're not worried about the maybe he's going to change his mind, so it's not considered a potential bracha l'batala. That's how the Taz understands. And therefore, according to him, we would understand the din of the Rami Rittenberg could be such a scenario, even though it's Techa'ir. Avol, Ha'ayah Rabba, Primagodim, Sharchanim Chokam Mazel, Miskim Lechokil, Yeshizor Shalalasas, okay? Akbariyabad Yeshiz Bechal Devorim. The Eli Rabbah, Primagadim, etc., they all say that no, we do not say a Tochayir. But in the case of a person did say a Tochayir, we would not tell him to say it again, because according to Taz, it was Yotze. Then the Mishra points out, like we said before, Bechosa Betchilas Yitzyosa Bebeis. It's talking about the first day that when you're originally leaving. If a person stops overnight along the way, you could say it the next morning, even though you're still within that city, as soon as you are prepared to go, even though you have not left at all from that place, you can say it took a year. In the middle of the car, hit some of that because you've already established that you're on your way. There's in a situation if a person would stay overnight in a krach, which is a large city, So when you leave the krach, there's a tefillah to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for leaving the krach safely, because in a krach there are all types of individuals. They're untrustworthy judges who might try to take advantage of you and extort money out of you. There's a lot of different types, all sorts of people over there. So you leave the krach safely. So you say a tefillah, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for letting you leave the krach safely, and then you say Kishem Shatzisani Utzisani L'Sholom Ketan L'Chein L'Sholom. Then you, from there, you lead into Tefillah Sederach. So Tefillah Sederach is supposed to be that we should travel safely, etc. But the context of the case where you're leaving the krach, you would say it as you, when you leave the city. If you wait till you start going to say it, you would thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for leaving the krach safely, and then you would say, the same way you've taken me out of the city safely, I should continue to travel safely, etc. So this creates this halacha that you can't say until you leave the city. So it creates the challenge which we have nowadays, because our cities are quite extensive. You have the end of the city, and then there's still houses. There's still people living there. So at what point do you say that you've clearly left a place of yishuv, a place where people are settled, onto the road? So there are two approaches in the poskim. One is that we go in numbers. As long as you get to one point where you're beyond 70 amas from it, within any house, or the house limit. So if there's a river along the way, and the river's wide enough that you're, you're going to cross the going north on 29, so you can cross the Patuxent River, and before the river there's no houses, and after the river there's no houses for a little bit, even though, except for that spot, all the way you're traveling amongst houses, but you've left the city, so you'll be able to say it at that point in time. That's one approach. There's actually an interesting sefer which just came out recently in Lakewood. I do not remember the name. I'm going to pick it up. About a person in the Halacha Tefillah Sederach, and this one of his issues was to define in each of the Jewish populated cities, based on the main routes that people leave the city, at what point along the way do you say Tefillah Sederach? So he, in his opinion, if you take 29 from Washington to Baltimore, you would say it when you cross the Patuxent. However, when you take 95, it's not as wide, and therefore you do not say it when you cross the Patuxent. So that is when he comes out. So that's one approach. Another approach is the point being, even if there was the point was that the traveler's travel of parcel beyond the city limits. The question is now, when do you leave? The answer is 70 amas is called that you left. But if you're going to be, assuming on the other side, there's houses again. Yeah, so you were out of the issue for all of that, those 500 feet from one side to the other. That's more than 70 amas, but at the end of the day, you're always traveling within or very close, near to populated areas. The types of dangers that you meet in near populated areas are not the same types of danger that you would meet beyond populated areas. And Chazal's Takana was because you go populated areas, beyond populated areas, so there's listim and there's animals and there's other things which you're not going to get because you're able to work out, specifically you got 70 amas this way, and etc.
What do you mean?
The point is that it has to be a type of a travel which you've clearly left the populated area. There's a third approach, which I think we mentioned a little bit, that really nowadays, theoretically, we should take Tefillah Sederach inside the city. Anytime you get into a car, you travel by car, there's a certain amount of danger of traveling in a car. When you walk. Your greatest danger was bandits along the road and wild animals, right? You went by wagon, maybe there's you got a crazy horse who decided to go crazy, right? Nowadays, there's people driving these 2,000 pound pieces of metal at 60 miles an hour. That's pretty dangerous, right? Many people get into accidents, and they're quite in danger, right? The other hand, Chazal were masakin, said Tochir. So really, we're sort of looking for an excuse to say Tefillah Sederach whenever we could. So if we could find a way to say, well, you've left, you're out of the regular city streets and you're on the road, even though there's houses around you, that's good enough. Listen, that general, the Beit HaMikdash, this is not safe totally anyway. So if you can find some way to say you've basically left the city, even though there's houses around, etc., so that'd be an excuse. And Rosh Hashanah went with that approach.
What helps you find, what helps you get it even if you haven't gone 70 amos? Like the Patuxent River example?
I'm saying what the reality is, you have one point where when you get into the highway, you're clearly in Hitzik Baderech. The fact that there are houses, you know, nearby, but you have no shaykhs, as far as you're concerned, you're on the road, you left the Mokim Yishuv, and you're in a situation of danger, the danger being the road itself. So yeah, we need to find the halacha. The answer is you need to say baderech. The tassis you can say teche here. Okay, no. We see that the tassis is wrong. You have to be machzik baderech. So how far do we take this? You clearly were machzik baderech, right? You left. Teres is what bizman chazal. If there were houses around, animals didn't come nearby, and they didn't have bandits. Okay, so you didn't have that danger. Nowadays, even those houses around, but once you're machzik baderech, the danger is there immediately. So that's sufficient to allow you to say it. That being said, Rabbi Ezra Zatzal did not say Tilsit Derech from, he held you didn't say Tilsit Derech from Washington to Baltimore or vice versa, and he did not differentiate between the routes. And he suggested that you would say it if you're going further north, after you go through downtown Baltimore and you pass the Baltimore Beltway, going from Washington, D.C. north, you pass the Baltimore Beltway twice. The second time you pass it, so the right afterwards, there's still the area, White Marsh, etc., which is very populated. And after that, it comes fairly sparse. Pretty soon after that, by Joppa already, it's another exit or two. It's already quite, it's much more sparse. See how that was sufficient. In general, I usually wait just either to Joppa, or if you're not, you don't stop at Joppa. You know, a little bit, if you go a little bit further, I go to the Maryland house, I say by the Maryland house. Okay. So you only say it, and the argument that's been there is to say the reason why to wait is because we say if there's a house of the 70 Amos, by Erev in the Lacha is when you draw your tomb around the city, and you know, the Dinam of Erev, etc. So a house within 70 Amos of the other houses is called part of the city. There's another one within 70 amos of that. That's right, you're part of the city. Another one within 70 amos of that. That's right, you're part of the city. You keep extending the city. So that, you know. And then there's a concept called the Eber. We spoke about the idea of Eber. If you have a city which, you know, the shape of the city is that over here it's a little bit shorter. Over here it's a little bit longer because it extends further. You would draw the square based on that further area. That's how you draw tchum. So we're defining the city quite expansively. And that changes. That would probably change fairly regularly. You know, I think that the tchum map in Lakewood is redrawn every year. And really, they say it should be every 6 months because the people are building houses, buying houses, and extending this. You know, the city just gets bigger and bigger. Okay. Lamed Rein La Omra. You do not say it unless you're planning to travel a parsa. Shabbos in parsa b'karb le'ir eino mokum sekana min astam. With the assumption that if it's less than a parsa of travel beyond the city limits, in general, it's not a dangerous place. Unless we know that it is an area which is dangerous, and all zeish levorech tefilas derech b'chol gav, and then you can say even though you're traveling less than a parsa, this is an area we know that there's a lot of wild, dangerous animals, whatever it might be. So you would say it. So theoretically, traveling from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim, so Rosh Hashanah Zatzal said that if you're taking the Kvish Aleph, there's no area which doesn't have two parses without a yishuv.
One aisle?
The main highway.
Route one.
Kvish is a highway.
No.
Kvish Aleph, yeah. Because they're so. However, when he says muksuk is sakana, a lot of people say if you take the 443, you should say it. Okay. It goes through some areas which, yes, where there are Arabs.
Definitely.
Mechilah ben besvina. This is no difference. The distance of a parsa applies whether you're going on a ship or you're going, if you're only traveling within a parsa area near the coast, near the city, it can be the same thing. You would not say. Fiza Gaman and Sal Mesilas of Barzil, person traveling by train. Yeshel of Orch, Tfilas of Derech. Filim Nasea Rock Parsa, even though the distance is only a parsa, since you're going beyond the city limits, even though time wise it's going very quickly. So Mishnah Berurah says, but the point is the idea that you're traveling even a short distance, but if it's beyond the city limits, where there's out there and the you know there's dangers out there, that's sufficient to say it. But the halacha is you're supposed to say it within the first parsa. Well, by a train, it travels the first parsa quite quickly. So you try and say, you should really say it mamash at the beginning of your trip. It's preferable to say within the first parsa, but you have a divarch at the besoif. As long as you still have one more parsa left to travel, you can say a bit of it. Parsa laman aleph hushman is a lofim ama dimilo paimama parsa arba milin. So a mil is 2,000 amas. Parsa is 4 mil, 4 times 2,000. Is 8,000. If you assume that in Amma is somewhere between a foot and a half to 2 feet, so it's somewhere between 12,000 to 16,000 feet, which really leaves you somewhere between 2 plus to 3 plus miles. At 5,280 feet per mile, so 16,000 feet is a little bit over 3 miles.
And that's referring to the distance once you leave the city issues.
Once you leave the 70 amas, if your trip is going to take you another parsa beyond that, then you're required to say it.
So when it says say in the first parsa, it doesn't mean the first parsa of your trip, but the first parsa outside of that.
Correct.
Right.
Outside of the city.
Could in many cases be many parsons into your trip.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's why you're not saying until north until Joppa.
Right.
I traveled a lot of parsons at that point in time. Right.
What's Joppa?
Joppa is the name of a city north of Baltimore. Or the name of a little town north of Baltimore.
Well, why don't you say Tulsa
there? Until then, between Washington and Baltimore, the area is very built up and north of Baltimore immediately is also built up a little bit. It goes beyond a little bit, yeah, then it starts thinning out. Okay. Then he said, if you're traveling less than a parsa, you do not you say Tilsa Derek, but you do not say Baruch. Apochis. The minute the person comes in from traveling, so you welcome him back and you say Shalom Aleichem, because he was, and the logic being not so much because you haven't seen him for a day, but you know whatever it is, but because if there was derech means there was element of danger, so Shalom Aleichem, the peace, you come back in peace, in one piece, but you know, Baruch Hashem, right? So you say you get, well, if he traveled a distance, which Halacha says you don't say to us there, because we don't consider that he's really been in a state of some elements of non-safety, so there's no kiddush. You know, it's like the guy from next door, where, you know, walking the shul next morning, he says, "Wow, Baruch Hashem, you made it from my house to shul safely. Shalom Aleichem." I mean, you know, okay, we don't say that.
Unless it's a bad neighborhood.
Unless it's a bad neighborhood. Tech parsa. So if you should say it, Chachila, the Rama says, within the first parsa of travel. You're planning to travel 15, 20 parsas, but you should say within the first parsa. If you did not, you continue. You could say it later, unless you're in within the last parsa of the trip, to parsa. Filling b'day to lisa oyd achar kach kama parsos miyirzu. You're going to stop in the city, even though you plan to at some point in time to continue onwards. Hunasib b'fnei atzah. That's a different trip. The hashu al kaponim b'tei pachos mi parsa b'lekas akonik. Within a parsa of the city, we say in general is not such a dangerous place. In general, the bandits do not come so close to the city, and the animals also do not. So unless it's known to be muksik but sakona, you wouldn't say in that situation.
When?
That you forgot to say in your ship, and you realize you're ready within the last parsa near your destination. There is an interesting cheshvan over here that they quote from Masadish quotes from Chaim Kanievsky. For this purpose, you don't count the 70 yamas. You don't say, "Well, the city has 70 yamas." You say, "Well, where does the city actually start?"
What is this person? This purpose?
This purpose is okay. He's traveling a trip of 15 parasols. He should have said it in the first parasol. He forgot. Second parasol. Third parasol. He finally realizes, and he's a parasol outside of his final destination. So he can still say it. He's less than a parasol. Can't say it. Right? Well, it depends how you measure. If you measure the city from the edge of the city, he still has a parasol to go. If you measure from these few houses which are straggling beyond the city, or the Iber Shalir type of a thing, then he's already within a parasol of the city and he can't say anymore. So no. You look at the city, the city with the city limits type of a thing. I don't mean the legal city limits, but the how we would actually proceed. Say you've arrived at the city. Now, for planes, so the question is, when would you say it? So the idea is you have to hit the bederach. So there's two ways to say that. One is, since the calls on you on the ground, you have one anywhere. Right? The plane just keeps going on the ground and stops, so you didn't go anywhere, right? So when does the actual trip start? When you take off the ground. So then you should say it. Like obviously you want to say it immediately within the first parts of your trip. So as soon as at the moment of takeoff, because you better say it very quickly. You're going to be traveling those 3 miles very quickly. As soon as the plane takes off, you're hitzik b'derech. Now you have to leave the first. You're supposed to leave the city limits. Well, as soon as you go above 10 tefachim, you leave the city limits, right? The plane is above 10 tefachim anyway. Since the wheels are on the ground, the wheels 40 inches off the ground, the wheels will move within some nanosecond. I know at the moment of takeoff. So as soon as the plane takes off, this is the right time to say tefachim there. That's
as soon as it takes off, you mean taxing? Like
no, it's a take when the moment it actually lifts off the ground.
But that's the best time to say
that.
Not just taxing the other one away. It's
correct. Now Rabbi Yaakov Zatzal said, like the argument of the Taz was that you need hitzik b'derech. So even though it's tocha ir, so we said okay that b'yavu yisamech on the Taz. There's no clear time over here, but that's clearly once you start the trip down the runway to take off, you're hitzik b'derech. The plane's not stopping at this point in time. Oh, guys, we changed our mind. We're staying.
That's a problem.
Huh?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Right. So Rabbi Yaakov will tell hell as soon as you could say it as soon as you start running down. As you're traveling to get to the runway, not when you finally it starts
moving fast. At that point, it's committed.
It's committed. Right? Like it can't stop then because there's not enough runway left for it to stop. It hits a certain speed. Like, it'd be quite a exciting stop. So the wife said, I think the minhag would like Rosh Hashanah Zalman really to wait till you actually lift off. I found that by general, because you prefer to be samech to a bracha. So on the bracha, if you say an alamichya from the time it starts taking off, usually you finish alamichya just in time to start the fill the day. I guess it depends on how fast your plane goes and how long your alamichya takes. Okay, sifkes, it moves away from the lachos of tefillas haderech. Hanichlas to Beis HaMedrash Yisparlo, a person comes into Beis HaMedrash to learn Yisparlo Yirotzim Lofanecha Hashem Elokeinu Belokeinu Vesenu Shelo Yekoshev Dar Alokha, etc. So that's the tefillah which is referred to as tefillah Rabbi Chudim and Akona. It's a Mishnah in Masechtas Brachos. The Mishnah's Lashon, the Rabbi Chudim and Akona used to say this every morning when he used to come to learn. when he came to Beis Medrash. The substance of the halacha is that it wasn't just telling us a fascinating halacha of Rabbi Chaim ben Hakana, it was telling us because we should emulate and do the same. So we dive in this tefillah. So at the end of the day, when he finishes learning, you give thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu that you were able to be able to be a person who was able to sit in Beis Medrash and learn. He would say it in the morning. For him, that was the beginning of his day of learning, and that was that he would say it at that point in time. And he would also add these two psukim, Keshem Yitin Chochma, Mepiv Dasa Smurna, and the pasuk of Galinai, Vabita Niflois Mitar Osecha, so that one recognizes that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of Chochma, and the second one is then being Mispalol, that Roshan, based on the pasuk in David HaMelech says in Kapitel Kuf Yutes, Galinai, the Roshan should open my eyes, Vabita, and I will be able to see Niflois Mitar Osecha. Okay. You spell your otzim lefanecha. You daven that Rosham should. You should daven the tefila ashlakasha b'dar alocha. Bismachu bechaverai. That they shouldn't be nichshol, and I will be asmach behem. Okay. So we daven that tefila. Vein b'chasima. First of all, there's no chasima. He points out that this is not end of the baruch. It seems to be that the issue over here is because there's chaverim. It says I shouldn't make a mistake, and my chaverim will have glee about that, and they should make a mistake, and I will have glee about that. So it would sound like if I'm learning by myself, I don't have to say this tefillah. So Taz says no. Even though the person is learning by yechidus, he should say it. Especially a person who's reached the stage of life where he's able to pass in shilas. So you need to daven that you shouldn't make a mistake and come to the wrong conclusions, pass in things incorrectly. So the correct Mishabur suggests that you should sort of roll into one all of the different bakashas over here. And he says, "Mizeo," and this is the language. He wrote some of Fanach Hashem Alokai Velkei Avisai. Shetoyrei Nai b'Me'or Torah Secha. You shall enlighten my eyes with Torah. V'Tzatzileini Mikol Mishav B'Tov. Save me from any mistakes. Heimadini Yisur V'Hetar Heimadini Momenis. Heim Barro Heim Alimu. Whether it's in any area of Torah, Galinai V'Hetini Los B'Torah Secha. Masha Shugisi Kvar Hamidei Alu Ames. So this is a tefillah you're going to say that you should not make any mistakes, etc. This you don't have to mention the issue of kishlan because that's only in a situation. And simcha is only there's a group, and kishuloi med bechabura tzarich levakish gam kein shlo yisma petakolosim lo yisma chubesakolosim kirisim bekemor. So now let's explain the tefillah. So the morale says. The person says. I shouldn't make a mistake, and they're gonna have glee over that. They're gonna be sameach about that. So the morale says, like, why would we assume that they would have? Why would we assume that? That you know, I mean, they're vindicative. Like, why are we assuming that? So he says that the Russia made the nature of Jews, the nature of people, the nature of Jews specifically, that because the goal is to come to a real bearer of Torah. Every time I say something, you say you're not going to say yes. You're not going to come to a true bearer. So Rashi made the nature of people that they're argumentative. When I say A, you say no. Why not B? So I have to answer you. Why not B? And I give you an answer. You challenge me again until we come to a real clarification of what really is the point. So by having so Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish to Rabbi Elazar ben Pados that Reish Lakish would challenge me in everything that I said, and that forced me to come to a true understanding of the halacha properly by forcing me to retract a little bit and clarify a little bit and limit my statement a little bit and qualify it a little bit, so I became to the real beer of what is true. But tell me that I'm right, I don't need to hear. So Rashi made the nature, the Maral says, that people are argumentative in order to get to a beer of Torah. Well, that means if I say A, you're probably going to say B. So if I'm wrong, you're right. Of course you're going to be happy. But there's, we're afraid that while that's going to happen, there's going to be certain amounts of, you know, mashu of like enjoying the fact that I was right and you were wrong. And that's improper. So we dive and I shouldn't be nichshel, and therefore they're going to enjoy that or vice versa. That's relevant when we're learning Bechabura, we're learning Bechabrusa. You learn by yourself. The main because I shouldn't make any mistakes when I'm learning, and I should learn and understand them properly. When you leave, you say my dani lefanecha. Because the Rambam appears in Mishnah, ve'elu shtei tefilas chayvo. The Rambam adds that the reason why we're told this, the Rambam in the Pirshei Mishnah, he says the reason we're told this because it's a chiyuv to say them. It's not just that he did this, but this now Chazal by encoding it in the Mishnah, the Chazal were saying this is the proper thing to do, and you must do this. There's no halacha that you have to sit or stand wherever the situation is. You shouldn't dafka face a certain direction. You don't have to bow. The main thing is say the words. So what do you say? You say moida ani lefanecha. V'din lo yehosu b'tara b'yichidus kol yom. So I remember gam came kol erev gemar limud. Even though you weren't part of a base manager of multiple people, but you were able to sit and learn. So you need to say a thank you to Kadosh Baruch Hu after he finishes learning. And the proper time to do it is not when you necessarily leave, when you finish learning. So a person can leave in the afternoon and still be learning again at night. So you're not going to necessarily say it at that point in time. But at the end of the day, he finishes his learning process. So he would say this thank you to Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Mm-hmm. What's the idea about facing east or west?
The Rambam seems to say that apparently he was addressing, this is a quote from the Rambam, apparently he was addressing some people had developed some thought process that you're supposed to face in some direction.
I see.
To say the tefillah, the Rambam says there's no such requirement.
I see.
Okay. Yeah. Simon Kufir Aleph. Din smich is gula the tefillah, boys gimel sif. Aleph. Sorak lisma gula the tefillah. Immediately after Goal Yisrael, you have to start Shemoneh Esrei. Well, Yavsek b'neyim afilu b'mein, achar Goal Yisrael. You should not even say amen after the bracha of Goal Yisrael. You don't answer Kaddish, you don't answer Kedusha, you don't say anything. V'lo shem posik. You should not add any psukim over there. Chutz Mi'Hashem Society Talk, which the Gemara asks, how is it shot to be masmid gula tefillah? You have to say Hashem Society Talk.
Tefillah richt.
So the Gemara answers that that's considered part of the Shemoneh Esrei. So Hashem Society Talk is part of Shemoneh Esrei. It's not considered an interruption. But a person would want to add any other psukim, that would be considered an interruption between gula and tefillah. So the Mechaber says you don't answer main. That the Ramah of Yesh Amrim is a mutalana somein. All Gal Yisrael. V'chein noigim. Some say that you do answer main. That referring to that if the Chazan says the Gal Yisrael aloud, you would answer main. The Yesh Amrim the Holy Tzarech is Magul the Tfilah Hanodavka B'chol or B'yomtiv Al B'Shabbos in Tzarech. So the Ramah adds a new thought that the requirement of Smichas Gula Tfilah does not apply in Shabbos. The time of the being in this gula tefillah. So where does this come from? You need to be some gula tefillah. So Chazal take it out of the following psukim. You see, Biyanach Hashem b'yom sodro. Kapitel Chof of Tillim starts off with in the same as Yehuda David Biyanach Hashem b'yom sodro. The person should answer you. It's a bakasha from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that corresponds to the act of bakasha of tefillah. The pasuk before that is the end of Kivutel Yutes, is either Rotsani Mefib, Hashem Sarib, or Goali. So, the last thought of that post of the previous Kivutel Yutes is Hashem Sarib, or Goali. So, that we talk about Sir Yisrael, right? That we talk about Sir Yisrael, Kumavaz Yisrael, Garleno, Sur, and Goyo, Baruch Hashem Goal Yisrael. And then immediately you go into Yanach Hashem, but Yam Sarah. The bakasha that we're the tefillah, which is the bakasha for Hashem saving us, be Yamsar. So the David Melech in the Tilim placed these things, these two kapitlach and these two psukim, these two ideas immediately adjacent to each other, to indicate that the immediately after you talk about Hashem Sariba Goyali is when you start asking for Yamsar Hashem be Yamsar. Therefore, Zot Ramah. If that's the logic, that doesn't apply on Shabbos. We don't, because Shabbos is not called Yom Tzara. The Shabbos loves Man Tzara.
Why would Yom Tov be like Chol?
Now, that's Zot Ramah further. So he quotes his Yesh Amrim, and now he's explaining the logic behind it. He says this Yesh Amrim said that Yom Tov, you need to be some Kudu Tefillah. Yom Tov and Chor is not a Yom Sora either. The Nira, the Mash ain't can be Yom Tov. The reason why we say Yom Tov, that you require Sichas Kudu Tefillah. Whom Yishum Shehem Yimei Hadin. Because now Mishnah Beis, Perakam of Rosh Hashanah, the Pesach Alav Tvua, each one of the Yom Tovim has element of special bakasha that we need Hashem to give us a good din. The Shana Yom Kippur is on the din of all the elements, and then Sukkot is for the Mayim, Pesach is for the Tzvua. So there is an element of Yom Sara that we need Hikosh Baruch to answer us positively the din, therefore you need Tzvus Gula and Tfilah. Zogt the Rimah B'Tavla Hakri Mabim Makam Shitzarach L'Kach. So that what you're saying that on Shabbos you may interrupt with the Gula and Tefillah, it's only you should not do that. If you have a tzarech, you would do that. Sivkatan Aleph. Tzarech Lismach, you have to go from Gula straight into Tefillah. Amos Amincha Mutalarm Psukim Kadim, Hashem Sosai Tiptoch. You're allowed to say other Psukim. Before Hashem Sosai Tiptoch, because there's no problem of him, there's no gula beforehand. You cannot say any psukim after Hashem Sosai. Once you say Hashem Sosai, you're ready in tefillah, you can't add more psukim. Pazazek Michlal tefillah, who? Hashem Sosai Tiptoch is part of Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore you cannot say anything, you start Shemoneh Esrei, you can't start adding psukim. As much as you tell me that it's part of Tefillah, that's why it's not considered a problem of Sichas Gula Tefillah, because it's part of Shemoneh Esrei. Since it's part of Shemoneh Esrei, you can't add anything afterwards. You can add before it by most of it, but not afterwards. You should not be Masa Beinayim, Tefillah B'Shiyah Ba'alma. Yes, we can think deeper. Yes, you know the chetchila. The chetchila person should not even pause the time of kedai deeper. Kedai deeper who kedai shilas time of the rav. That's the time of times. Could tell, but they say to the rabbi, shalom alecha, rabbi umari. So those four words take out the time. So person chetchila, from the time he finishes going yisrael till he starts Hashem Sosai Tiptoch, the gap should not be more than that amount of time. You don't answer a filo main. Well, then the Kaddish Kedusha ain't lana. You don't answer Kaddish Kedusha at that point. Kedusha simon sabavav siftes. We're not going to main. So if you don't answer Kaddish Kedusha, obviously you don't answer a main. Why do you discuss a main? Shum the shom salakinyana shal brachas kriyishma. There, the topic was this is the end of brachas kriyishma. So the sheet of the Mechaber is whenever you finish a series of brachas which end the thought, you say amen. That's why we do that benching. The first three brachas end the brachas of Raisa. And we personally say amen in our own brachas. According to the Mechaber, that's not only over there. That would be true in any situation where you have a Seder brachas, multiple brachas at Seder. When you finish them, you would answer Amen after your own bracha. So at the end of Hallel, according to the Mechaber, a person answers the main to his own bracha. And the end of Yishtabach, right? Melech Yochid Keil Chayor Elomim, this is heard, amen. They answer the same answer to their own bracha. Just like we say amen by Berachas HaMazon. We don't do that. Right? But there, according to the Mechaber, you answer amen after a series of brachas. According to the Mechaber, really, Berachas Hashem Gal Yisrael, you should say amen. It's the end of a Seder of brachas. No. You don't answer amen even after, so that's a chiddush, because you should be saying amen over here. It's end of a thought. End of a series of brachas. No, don't say amen. And I'm going to say Kaddish Kedusha as well also. That's why he pachapt on the main for that din over there.
Shulchan Aruch is the Machane.
Yeah. You can't say any psukim. Phil Barab is cut him on Tfilish Ranes, so you get Gam, Ken, Yesh, these herbs that. So, the Mar Shmanesre, Mar of in general is a little bit of a Kiddush, because it's Shmanesre. Because it's there's Goal Yisrael, and you say Kaddish in the middle. You answer Kaddish in the middle. The Shachar, there's no way you can put a Kaddish there, because you have to master Gula and Tefillah. So, well, no, you don't need master Gula. You don't need it. Oh, good. So then I can add. The Shem says, "I can add before that. You know, the Kalim everything this Torah Sarasecha, Mohati Sarasecha, Kalim Mizichasi. I can add Pesukim before I start trying to. No, you can't. You can't do everything Gula and Tefillah. I said Kaddish in between. This not. So,
who are you talking about? Marv?
By Marv.
So, of course, you don't say Kaddish.
Correct. Now, some say you do say Amen after God yourself. So, after Mishra, even according to that opinion, Abul Amen Yeshmer Abu, Mikdusha and Amafsik. The Amen Shach was Rachel, Abi Hefsik, Mashenk, and Ve'ethel. You can't answer. If you said Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael, you haven't started you finished B'marav, Hashkiveinu, it was almost Shabbos, right? You finished Gal Yisrael, you haven't started Shemoneh Esrei yet, and somebody's saying Kaddish somewhere. You don't answer in Yeshua Rabba. You'll have to say Amen according to this opinion on the Baruch of Gal Yisrael. So you see, it's not a problem. So I can answer Yeshua. No. That's the problem. It's a hapsik. Why are we here? This Amen is not a hapsik. The Amen is simply of the Baruch of Gal Yisrael from the Chaz. We do allow a main over there. That some say it doesn't apply in Shabbos. It's really not helping me do that. And I'm pausing because I need to think, and you start talking. It's very distracting. Lav zman tzara. Shabbos not zman tzara. But Yisrael chalak al zeh tzira leidehu kro sema b'alma. We're building too much on this, the fact that the Chazal made us machter from these two psukim, and therefore it doesn't apply in Shabbos. Chazal may have found it us machter, but the concept, you don't interrupt, would apply in Shabbos as well. They give a different reason. They give a marshal. Person says Shmoneh Esrei is after Gula is along the following. It's comparable, analogous to the following. So he comes and knocks on the door. The king opens the door. If the fellow's there, so the fellow speaks to him, and then he gets to present his needs, and he gets an answer. If the fellow walked away, so the fellow says, "Oh yeah, no problem." He shuts the door and goes back inside. Well, he knocks again and says, "Tough luck." So that's the argument that they say that you should not interrupt, because the point is, Gal Yisrael is being meratz of the melech, as if in the marshal that you're knocking on the door. The Russian says, "Okay, I'm interested. What do you got to say?" You start talking, you do something else. "What are you doing?" The Russian says, "Okay, I'm not interested either. He shuts the door and goes back to his business. So we don't want that. So that would apply on Shabbos as well. Okay, so cut and test. You should be machmir and not interrupt on Shabbos unless there's a need. Sorry, look out. Hainu, the mutalan is omen yeshurabu, beklusha borchu, ben gula twila, the Shabbos af peshachris, kegos al yabu, pivigadam, shaman tzibur, vayim v'yalocha. So according to this thought process, Sarah, it means if the Maisa played out that there's multiple minyanim, and just that they say, Gal Yisrael, the next Sibra finishes, right? The Rumbamab, right? Not the Rumbamab, Bagalog is not Kariv, Imru Amein. The Chazan here says, Gal Yisrael, Shachris, and he says, Bagalog is not Imru Amein. You answer, Imin Yeshur Abba, and then you say, Shemon Asre, because that's a Malkam Tzarek. You have no other way to deal with it.
But the Chazan should say Gal Yisrael aloud, really, then on Shabbos?
That's an interesting question. So according to the Ramah, since we pass on Tav L'Hachmer, right?
Even on Shabbos.
Even on Shabbos, because there's other arguments, you would not answer main after Gal Yisrael either.
Right.
So the Tav L'Hachmer creates that even on Shabbos. You would,
right. Of course, that's a whole other discussion about whether he should be saying it quietly or not.
Correct. We spoke about that a little bit, right?
Yeah.
That's what we hear.
When you answer.